You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Morena Marama Davidson, how are you this morning?
Morena Zoe, I'm really good, thank you.
Well, it's lovely to have you on the show. Let's crack straight into it. Chloe Swarbrick has been announced as the new Green Party co-leader. I want to get into what you see Chloe Swarbrick bringing to the table as your new co-leader, but first I'd love to ask, what do you see as an important part of James Shaw's legacy as the Green Party co-leader?
Oh gosh, he's been my co-leader mate for 6 years. That's a long time to be working together, so we've grown really close in our working relationship. Look, his legacy is just not going to be able to be disputed. His work and leadership as the country's first ever climate minister, and as the zero emissions carbon bill legacy and legislation is embedded in place. His work leading the work to establish and set up the Climate Change Commission. So many things, but for me, it's been a real honour to be part of the co-leadership model, because we're bringing different skills, different communities, different experiences, different lived experiences, and then complementing those together. So I've been saying to people that I luckily had some months to process the news of James leaving well before the public did. Mm. It was a bit of a process having to accept that that was going to change, he was going to move on. But now I wish him all the best. He's definitely earned being able to move on from Parliament.
Mm. And what do you see Chloe Swarbrick bringing to the table as your new co-leader, and what changes are potentially in store for the Greens?
Oh, my goodness. Well, she's just a phenomenon. And one that, a phenomenon that actually will stick out for the entire political history of this country, I believe. She brings with her incredible huge reach and ability to connect. She has got people of all different ages, backgrounds and lived experiences really inspired by her approach, by her leadership, by her examples of being effective as a parliamentarian. What I really am excited about is being able to present a double female, a two women leadership team that, my understanding, is the first time around the world, not just here in Aotearoa.
Oh wow!
And that includes deputy and leader and deputy leader models. We can't pull up any example. We've been looking around the world, and that's two high profile politician leaders, progressive leaders, leading the third largest political party in the country. That's going to be massive. Already I'm seeing people inspired by the co-leadership team of what we're able to represent. And we are really clear, this government that we're currently facing is one of the most anti-environment, anti-people governments we've had in quite a long time. And that spells a real need for the Greens to be really, really clear in our opposition and our vision for what the solutions actually are, and to be able to build our public support for getting rid of this government. That's something that both Chloe and I are really looking forward to.
Yes, well, let's talk about this current government and some of their proposed gun law changes that are on the cards after their agreement to rewrite the Arms Act that was tightened after the Christchurch mosque attacks. And we're getting close to the 5th year anniversary of that terrorist attack, actually, on Friday. Is this a change, the proposal to rewrite this Arms Act, that the New Zealand public actually has an appetite for in your...
Oh my goodness, no. And the thing here, though, is whose appetite should we be centering here?
Mm.
Well, it is the Muslim community, the families of those who lost their loved ones in that terror attack, March 15 terror attack. And this was quite a heinous move. It's not a move that we have seen a massive appetite for. And we've got to be clear about the difference between a massive appetite and few loud advocates. I'm quite mind-boggled as to why this is even getting any attention whatsoever. It can't, then for me, it just must come down to the power and resource of lobbyists, to be quite frank. And it's one of the most heinous, callous moves of this government, and that's saying something because there are so many heinous and callous moves.
Mm. As opposition, what do you plan to do to prevent actions like this from passing? And when will the public know the outcome of decisions such as this?
Well, I mean, we've just come through the first 100 days and we're doing our best to delay and oppose a whole lot of legislation that was completely and utterly rammed through the House, very anti-democratic, proposing to do more ruin to the environment, proposing to do more ruin to the worst off, people who are the worst off. And we were able to come up with strategies to delay and continue to be really clear about how callous and cruel this government really is. At the end of all of that, they have the final numbers and are able to push legislation through. So what our job is then as the Greens is to be able to present to the communities and alongside Te Pāti Māori and Labour a really clear alternative vision, really clear cohesive vision for political parties who can work together for good rather than for the few. And that is what our job is. It is to continue to try and get attention and presence with our visions and our solutions and to be able to show that actually we can do better. Our job is to, and this is something that Chloe spoke to, is to make it really clear that politicians do not hold that power, that actually the masses, the many, the people actually have it within our collective power to lead politics rather than just have to respond to it. So improving that self-belief across our collective communities is some of the biggest work that we've got ahead of us.
Now, just before we let you go, I would like to briefly touch on the draft transport plan from the government, which has been met with some protest. Advocates such as the trustee of All Aboard Aotearoa, Paul Winston, labelled it as a disgrace for the removal of climate change from the draft transport policy. I think I can guess what you will say, but what is the Greens' position on this draft?
This is an absolute attack on the future of our planet for a stable climate, but also it is reducing people's choices. It is forcing people to have to rely more and more and more on cars, and it's irresponsible, it's quite reckless, and there's no evidence over what they are wanting to propose. Their focus on removing, for example, removing funding and removing priorities towards better cycling and walking choices and routes, and instead funneling into especially more highways, removing safety options, speed bumps and speed zones, for example. What the heck is that? So it is what the government are proposing for transport is locking people in and removing people's choices, locking people into dependency. That is going to cause more congestion, increase climate pollution, and increase the instability of our climate as And it's totally reckless. So, you know, we've been very, very clear about our response to the government's statement on transport, and we know that the real solutions are in cheaper and free public transport, better efficient public transport options, more cycling and walking, safer cycling or walking infrastructure to allow people to have that choice. And that is what will remove cars from the road and ease congestion. It's the opposite of what this government is doing.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Marama Davidson. And I am aware that you are recovering from COVID-19 at the moment, so I hope the rest of your recovery goes well and you feel better soon.
I really appreciate that. Thank you very much, Zoe. It's been a pleasure. Kia ora.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.